Hi, I'm here with Les Hewitt, founder of The Power of Focus, Inc., and founder of the Power of Focus coaching programs. Welcome to the interview, Les. It's a great pleasure to have you here. We've just read your book, The Power of Focus, and we were very impressed with the strategies that you guys had provided in there. Now, the book was written by Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, who are the founders and writers of Chicken Soup for the Soul, and of course yourself, who is already a very prominent motivational coach and success coach in the market. Tell us how you got to know Jack and Mark and how you guys started writing the book. How did that begin?
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting story. I've known Jack and Mark for over 20 years, and I used to run a seminar company many years ago, and so I had brought Jack and Mark in to do some events for us in our area for our clients. And so got to know them that way and became good friends over the years and just sort of kept in touch. And when Chicken Soup was starting, I remember, I think it was Mark called me and said, "We got this new book we're thinking of launching. What do you think of the title, Chicken Soup for the Soul?" And I thought that was sort of intriguing. But what happened was I started a coaching program, John. It's about 12 years now. I've been running that two-year coaching program. And about 5 years into it, we were getting such great results with our clients. They were dramatically improving their financial situation. They were getting more time off. They were better focused and having a better balance in their life with work and family. That I decided I wanted to write a book so we could reach more people. And at the time, I really didn't have time to run around looking for a publisher, which is not that easy. So I phoned Jack and Mark and I said, "I've got a book. I've got it outlined. Maybe you'd be interested in being co-authors with me." And so we had a meeting. They really liked the idea of the book. They'd done a lot of Chicken Soup books, and probably they were looking for something a little different. And so the deal was basically that, you know, we're all busy. And I said, "Look, I've got the content already done. I'm happy to write the book. Obviously, would love to get your input and guidance and everything else. But can you get a publisher?" And I was in Jack's office, and he basically lifted the phone, phoned the publisher, HCI, who are the same publisher for Chicken Soup, and in 2 minutes we had a publisher. So I pretty well wrote the book, and they put some really good guidance put into it, and that's how it happened, basically. It's very gratified. It's done extremely well. It's in 22 languages around the world, and just seems to continue to sell.
Awesome. Fantastic. And has there been any recent attention to The Power of Focus? It says you guys have sold more than 50 million books worldwide. That's an incredible number.
Yeah, that would be Jack and Mark primarily with Chicken Soup. I think that number is now over 100 million. So they've got over 100 titles of Chicken Soup. I think it's over 140 titles now. So it's a marketing machine, basically. But there's now four titles to The Power of Focus. The Power of Focus for Women, which I co-authored with my wife, Fran, a great personal development book specifically targeted for women. But if you're married, I would say guys should read that book as well. They're going to learn a lot. The other one we did was The Power of Faithful Focus, which came about. There's a guy in California, just a pastor, Dr. Charlie Self, phoned me, and he said, "I think there's another title here that you're not even aware of. For the Christian market." So he helped co-author that book. I'm very excited about that. And then the fourth title was The Power of Focus for College Students. And that was co-authored by my son, Andrew, and his buddy, Luke. And it's a great book for kids about to enter college, maybe halfway through university. Really insightful book as to what direction you should be taking, what career choices you need to be making. And very interesting statistic, John, that the boys did in their research, they find that 70% of kids who go to college and graduate within 5 years are totally unhappy and dissatisfied with their career choice. And that's a huge statistic. So the book really guides young people to make, you know, choices that are more suited to their particular talents and skills, and that's having a major impact in the college market.
Yeah, one of the things that we've noticed about The Power of Focus for College Students is that you have a foreword by Donald Trump. How did you get Donald Trump involved in the project?
That's a great story. My son Andrew and his buddy Luke came to me one day and said, "You know, we need to get somebody to write the foreword." And I said, well, why don't you go to the dean of your business university and, you know him personally. And Andrew, my son, said, get real, Dad. And he said, we want a big name. And I said, well, you go figure it out and let me know. So a couple of days later, they come back and said, we've got it, Donald Trump.
Wow.
And I sort of laughed and I said, well, you know Donald? Because I don't. And he said, we're getting Donald. And what they did that was really interesting, John, and it proves a very important point. When you really believe that you can make something happen and then just do something about it and visualize it, they created a screensaver. We didn't even have a cover of the book designed at that point. And they mocked up a cover of the book and they put right across the top of the mock cover, forward by Donald Trump in big, big letters. So every time they opened their laptops, this screensaver, this cover of the book came up and they were visualizing that every single day. To cut a long story short, it took three people to get them to Donald Trump and he wrote the forward.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
And of course, you know, he didn't know them from a hole in the wall. He doesn't write many forwards. I mean, you know, a couple of people he's written for that were on The Apprentice and people like that, but he doesn't do many forwards. So it was a real scoop for the boys to pull that one off.
That's awesome. Now, gurus like yourself, like Donald Trump and Jim Rohn, all these great personal development speakers have always emphasized visualization and focus. What is the value of visualization in the process of focus?
Well, I think it's just one part of it. I think sometimes we get all caught up with all you've got to do is visualize and it magically happens. And I know, of course, The Secret has been such a phenomenon worldwide. And, you know, I totally believe in the law of attraction that you can attract things through focus, visualization, really believing, having a passion. But there's a lot of pieces to that. And I think one of the things that was missed in The Secret, and I think it was more missed by the media, they seem to think that all you got to do is think about what you want and it magically happens.
Yep.
Yeah. There's more to it than that. I think you've got to put it into action, obviously. You got to do some things to make things happen. And I think all the authors said that, but it got missed and there's a lot of controversy about that. But I think what it really does mean when you're visualizing is you're keeping your goals front and center. And there's so many things today, John, that are vying for our attention. I mean, we get distracted and interrupted yep. just about every single day. And, you know, if you don't keep your most important goals front and center, and a good way to do that, obviously, is to have them visual, and whether that's mucking up a collage of photos of all the things in your life that you'd like to see happen, and you look at that every day. Or maybe you just write your goals down and you read them twice a day or something. That keeps it front and center. And that's just really important. And I think it's one step that helps those things come together.
Excellent. Now, what are the biggest challenges that business owners face today regarding lack of focus? What's so important about having focus in business?
You know, we have a 2-year coaching program for entrepreneurs, and we've just developed a new product actually called the Complete Focusing System. And I think in my experience, John, in 30 years in business, working with entrepreneurs is, well, first of all, most of them don't have crystal clear goals. You think in this day and age, people would have figured that one out, but they really don't. They don't have a really good system for putting goals together. And the other thing that I mentioned is we just get distracted so easily. And one of the things that we do is we teach people, first of all, particularly entrepreneurs, is to say, what are your three greatest strengths? Like, what are the things that you naturally do well that you're gifted at doing? And I'll give you my example currently. So my top three on a weekly basis would be, number one would be coaching and speaking. So I coach a lot of groups and I speak at lots of conferences. The second one would be creating new products. So we've got another book coming up. We've got this new Complete Focusing System that's going to be an online product that's very exciting. So when I'm doing that, you know, then I'm really focused. And the third one for me is building positive strategic alliances. That's working with people who have huge influence over big networks around the world who would be interested in the power of focus, whatever our programs and products are. When I'm spending 80% of my time on those three things, because those are the three things that I do best, then my business is really focused. I'm moving faster towards my specific goals, and I delegate all the other stuff that, you know, goes on in my business, outsource it. We don't have a big staff by choice, but, you know, we have a system called the 7-day focus, which is something you do every week to keep you on track, to focus on your greatest strengths. You should be spending 80% of your week on the three things you do best. And the vast majority of people don't do that. They're more like 20% of their time on their top three strengths. And so we show them how to move that up to 80%. It's not something that happens overnight. It's a process. But there's a massive difference when they go from those low focus scores to clicking along at 80% plus. And of course, when you're doing what you love to do and what you're doing best, your confidence is up, your energy is up, your stress is low, and you get things done far faster and you hit those goals faster.
Well, one of the biggest aspects of your book, Power Focus, talks about mentorship and looking for the right mentors to help you in your life. Tell us about the mentors that you've had in your life and what are the important things about having a mentor?
Well, it's super important. And, you know, I drifted out of school, John. I really didn't have a clue what I wanted to do. And, you know, I was more from Ireland and, you know, I was into sports and things like that. I really hadn't considered writing as a profession. I find writing very easy. And I think, you know, in the back of my mind when I was a teenager, I thought, you know, it'd be great to be a sports journalist. What a terrific job, you know. I was really into soccer, and I thought traveling around the world, you know, writing about soccer games, that would be a heck of a job. But I never pursued it, and nobody ever guided me or coached me or mentored me to take a look at that, even to say, why don't you find a great sports journalist and shadow that person for 2 or 3 days and find out what the job is really like. And again, I guess that generation, it just, those things didn't happen. But mentors are incredibly important. The man that I credit for really changing my life and opening, you know, my mind to setting goals, changing my attitude, looking at my strengths, was this man, Jim Rohn. And Jim lives in California. He traveled all around the world. I think he's celebrating his 77th year this year.
Wow.
And I had never, and I was in the medical field. I drifted out of school. I ended up working in a big hospital in Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Wow.
And I ended up looking down microscopes, being a hematologist.
Wow.
Counting blood cells. And, I mean, I started, my dad worked in a hospital, and I just drifted into this job. And I spent 14 years as a medical lab tech. And then I woke up one day and thought, I'm in the wrong career. You know, I'm not a technical person to start with. Maybe I'm a slow learner, but I, you know, just completely in the wrong career. And I had this little DJ business that I was running for fun on the weekends. And through that, I got recruited into a direct sales company. And Jim Rohn was the international trainer. And I'd never heard anybody talk about goals or attitude. And I think the first thing I had a set of the old audio cassette tapes, and that's where I heard Jim, and then I finally met him about a year later. But, you know, I still credit him today as one of the major mentors in my life. And then we brought him into the Calgary here for years. We brought him in to do big seminars and became friends, as well as him being a great mentor. But he was one of many, and I think it's just so important that the mentor can really fast track you to where you want to go. The other route is you can take trial and error and try to figure it all out yourself, which is a pretty slow way of doing things. So why not find people who are already at the point you'd like to be, whether it's financial, running a business, or whatever lifestyle I happen to have, and they can show you how to do it.
What about being a mentor? Do you mentor anybody at the moment? Are there any people that, yeah?
Yeah, I've worked with quite a few people, particularly people that have wanted to write books. I've coached quite a few people to write best-selling books, which is a lot of fun. But I think that's part of the responsibility, John. You know, if you've had the privilege, you know, when you're younger to have great mentors in your life and they've provided incredible value for you, I think as we get older, then the responsibility is that, you know, we gotta become the mentor as well and help particularly young people that are coming up and they're trying to figure it all out just as we did when we were younger. And I just think that's part of the responsibility.
Yeah, you're just giving back to what you have received. There was an article in Newsweek that stated that multitasking is a surefire way to mental breakdown. We hear a lot about information overload. the power of focus cuts through information overload. Can you talk about how to avoid information overload?
Yeah, I think, again, it's just being very clear about what you should be doing every week and what you shouldn't be doing every week. You know, this is difficult for a lot of people. I think a big part here, John, is that it's, first of all, what flexibility do you have in the area that you work in? If you own the company, you've got tremendous flexibility. And yet I think entrepreneurs are some of the worst people when it comes to multitasking. And one of the reasons is that they become so controlling that they won't delegate very effectively, so they hang on to things. And believe me, I was one of the worst controllers for years because, you know, I used to say, well, nobody can do it as well as me, so I think I'll just do everything, you know. And so I was doing all this stuff that I shouldn't be doing. And I find that happens a lot with people in business. And it also happens in the corporate world as well. If you're, you know, in middle management or whatever position you happen to be in, sales or whatever. But again, I think it's stepping back and saying, what is it that I do best? And how can I apply those particular talents to the job that I'm in? And see, the big thing for me, you know, being in the medical field, was waking up one day and saying, this environment that I'm working in isn't allowing me to maximize my natural talents. The only thing I was really utilizing in that medical job that I had was setting up a training program for the students that came through. I loved that. And that was using my natural skills. But, you know, with all the technical stuff, that's the last thing in the world I should have been doing. So I think it's really important, first of all, to step back and say, what is it that I'm really good at? What do I love doing? What value can I bring with the skills that I've got? And then find an environment that allows you to maximize those. And there's lots of environments. You know, you're not restricted to the one environment. There's lots of environments. But the other thing is to be just really aware of what happens in a typical week. I mean, emails, people get bombarded with emails. And, you know, a simple thing there is to say, okay, the discipline, the focus I need to require here is I'm going to handle emails twice a day. And you just have the discipline to do. You set up a habit that you do it twice a day, and you let people around you know, I handle emails twice a day. And I would suggest you don't do that first thing in the morning. You don't dive into your emails the first minute you arrive in the office, because that's going to throw you off, distract you. And a lot of those emails really aren't important. They will pull you away from your most important goals. And, you know, it's different if you've got the type of business where it's email dependent, and some businesses are, but most aren't. I think technology is wonderful, John, but there's a real backlash to this. You know, have you ever had somebody, they send you an email and you don't respond to it. 5 minutes later, you get another one that says, did you not get my email? Like, people want instant reply. And, you know, they think everything's urgent these days. And we teach people in our coaching program, most of what other people say is urgent isn't. And don't let other people's urgency become your emergency. And so it's really about disciplining your week. One of the things that we do, just very briefly, this new complete focusing system we've developed, very excited about it. It's going to be an online product. We're using the analogy so people really get this, that your life is like a movie, and everybody knows movies. The movie is called Your Life, and the movie's already in progress. So the neat thing about if you look at your life as a movie is you're the director, you're the screenwriter, and you're the star, you're the leading actor. And so what we do with a complete focusing system is to say, okay, if you're the director's the person who has the vision of what the movie's going to look like and end up like. When you look at your life, what's the vision for your life? And we have a whole process we take people through, which is very exciting. We look at 7 areas of your life to make sure you've got a whole life picture and great balance in your life. But what does that look like in a big picture perspective? If it was a movie, what would the movie look like? How would you create a blockbuster movie?
Wow.
A best performance type of movie. And we have a whole system. It's a lot of fun. And this is going to be a blast on YouTube and Facebook and everything else. And the second step is once you've got that big vision as a director, then you change hats and you put on the screenwriter's hat. Now, the screenwriter is the guy who puts the scenes together and makes sure that they're in the right order, the movie's flowing right. And that's the equivalent of setting priority goals of the year. So we have, the timeline there is 1 year. So So we have a whole system of working out how you prioritize your most important goals in those seven areas. When you've got that figured out, then here's the key part, which is step three. Now you've got the scenes that you would like to see happen in the movie. Now, how do you make it happen? And what you do then is you write this detailed script for each of those scenes. That's called the 7-day focus. And this is what happens every week. You sit down for half an hour and you script your week for your business, for your personal life, and the other areas. And it takes me half an hour to do that on a Monday morning. And I know exactly what I have to accomplish in that next 7 days. And the 7-day focus forces you to spend the most important time on your strengths. We take a look at the three most important actions you need to take that week, and that's the details of your script. But the neat thing at the end of the week, John, is you can actually figure out what your focus score was in each of three areas. So you can figure out how good were you at following through, how many actions did you complete, how well did you complete the script. And, you know, in the movies, they talk about stick to your script and you'll produce a great scene in the movie. And that's all you got to do. You write the script and then you stick to it. And that's what the focus is all about. But the neat thing is that you can score yourself at the end of the week. It takes a couple of minutes. We're creating an online model of this. The software is just being done right now. It's going to be a lot of fun to work with. And people will hit their goals far faster than they've ever hit them before.
Okay. I'd like to throw you a sort of like left question here. Children today, we're talking about kids that are in grade school. They, out of a lot of people, are victims of information being constantly bombarded at them. You see kids going to after class sessions, going to piano classes, sports classes, and their parents are just loading them up with distraction after distraction, and then you've got the media, which are distracting them over and over. How do you raise good habits in children regarding focus, in your experience?
Well, it's a great question. You know, I think as a parent, you really are the role model, and I think it depends on your values as a parent, as a family. You know, what are the most important values that you have? And how do you instill those values into children as they grow up? Well, the way you do it is you model it. And they observe your habits, the way you communicate, whether there's harmony and good communication or whether there's constant fights and bickering. I like your comment about most people have kids in far too many activities. I mean, I have someone in my extended family who's got 3 young children, and each of them are in 3 or 4 activities every week.
Yep.
And the mother's running around like a chicken with her head cut off. It's crazy.
It's all,
you know, when I was a kid, John, my mother used to throw me out of the house and say, come back at supper time. Go play. You know, and you had to figure it out. And I think we had a lot of fun. And, of course, you know, today with, again, technology, you know, kids are sitting in front of computer screens playing video games half the time and texting and all the rest of it. And, you know, it's just a different world we live in at the moment, but I think we've lost a lot. We can overload our kids in activities. You know, our rule was you didn't have, you know, I have 2 children, so they didn't have more than 2 activities at any given time.
Yep.
And they seem to do fine. But I think the other thing is that I see the lack of balance between work and family is, you know, usually both parents are working. And often it seems like they're on a treadmill. They work so hard, so there isn't much balance. There's not much time for the kids. They stick them in front of the TV, and there's very little communication. And often the person who's an entrepreneur, you know, won't take any time off for vacation. It's one of the things that we insist on. We have a lot of people who come into our coaching program who haven't had a vacation in 5 years or more. And we insist that they take 6 weeks off a year. And if you're not taking 6 weeks off a year just for maintenance, you're doing yourself and your family a disservice. And what we find is that when people take regular breaks, they get into the habit of taking regular breaks, they actually make more money and their business does better.
Why don't people take breaks in your experience with these people coming to your seminars? Why don't they take breaks? Why do they spend 5 years working their heads off and not even giving themselves a chance to recuperate?
Well, I think they're totally disillusioned. You know, I think they think the deal is that you got to work 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then one of the questions I have is, well, what are you doing it for?
Right.
And sometimes they just get into the routine of that. And I know there are some people who are really driven. You know, that's their metabolism. That's just their personality. They're really, really driven. And it's hard for them to stop. But the question is, why are you doing it? You know, is there a clear reason and a big enough reason that you're driving yourself so hard? You've seen, I'm sure, in the media, and I'm seeing more and more, particularly men in their 40s, keeling over with massive heart attacks due to stress. You know, you can build a highly profitable business and make all the money you want, and you'll do it better if you take regular breaks. You know, I find it very interesting. We ask people, you know, particularly the business leaders, how would you describe a day off? How many hours is that? And the typical answer is 6, 7, or 8 hours. And the rest of the time, they are running around with their cell phone, checking emails, dipping into the office on weekends, taking work home at night. In our system, if you take a day off, it's 24 hours. You're not allowed to do anything with business. And we find that when people even take one full day off, they get far more rejuvenation and re-energized by taking a full day off than taking a few hours here and there. If you take a week off to go on vacation, you don't check into the office every day. It's a week off. And when you come back, you find that you're again rejuvenated. You're more creative, you're more productive, you're more focused, and does that affect the bottom line? Absolutely. You will end up being more profitable.
I want to turn our attention to the power of focus for women. Now, I find this very interesting. Is there a difference in the way women focused and men?
Well, women are the champion multitaskers. And in many ways, they need to be, particularly with families and if you're a career person, or even just a full-time job. Quite frankly, John, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they have 3 kids at home and they work a full-time job. And they're incredible multitaskers. My wife, Fran, is a great example of that. You can give her a list of 20 things. She can just zoom through that list. And me, not a chance. You know, I just don't function like that. But I think The Power of Focus for Women is a very different book. First of all, it's not a business book. It's very much about personal development. And my wife, Fran, has done a lot of work with women. She does like 3-day workshops for small groups of women. And it's life-changing. And she finds that one of the big challenges that women have is that because of all the pressure they have, often juggling, like if you've got 3 kids at home, that's practically a full-time job. And she says that women come up to her at the end of the 3 days of her program, and they'll say things like, you know, I'm exhausted, I'm overwhelmed, and my life just doesn't seem to be working. There's never enough time for me. In fact, there's never any time for me. And I always feel I'm at the very end of the line when it comes to time. And these women are just totally frustrated and stressed out. And it's giving them permission. One of the big things in the book is all about setting boundaries and being able to say no and to have time for yourself and feel that you deserve it and everything else. Self-esteem is a really big issue. You know, all the things around confidence. And, of course, that applies to men as well. But women just seem to have more of those types of issues. And it's a very enlightening book.
Awesome. Now, you told us earlier that you're actually working on a book right now. Give us a preview. Tell us about it. Give us a hint on what's going on.
Well, it's called The Four Fundamentals. And what I've done, John, I've sort of sifted through, you know, The Power of Focus and simplified it.
Uh-huh.
And really, you know, we're finding in our coaching program now, just working on what we call the four fundamentals is really the foundation to build everything. And the four fundamentals are, you know, focus on your most important goals, focus on your top priorities, focus on your most important relationships, and focus on creating successful habits. So those four things, goals, priorities, relationships, and habits, really are the cornerstone for building an incredibly successful business or lifestyle or having a great, you know, family life, whatever it happens to be. It's been interesting, you know, over the years we've done this, that anyone who's had a crisis in our coaching groups, we've always been able to solve the crisis using those four fundamentals, never been stumped. And it's very, very powerful. So what I'm going to do is just simplify everything and have some very practical strategies how to use those four fundamentals.
Awesome. We're really looking forward to that. I'm with Les Hewitt. author, co-author of The Power of Focus. Thank you for having this interview with me, Les.
My pleasure.
And if people are interested in finding out more about The Power of Focus, where can people go to?
Yeah, the easiest thing, just go to the website, thepowerofocus.ca, and check out the complete focusing system. That's something that will be coming online in a couple of months. And we're very excited about that. But the other programs and products, all the information is there. If you want to call, you can call toll-free in North America. It's 1-877-678-0234.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to talking to you again once your book comes out. And thank you very much again.
Thanks for the opportunity.